storm over here. See, that there's a precious, God answers prayers. You don't believe that, right? God answers prayer. And there's this Christian who was, they just started a new diet. So they had his favorite donut shop. Mine is Tim Hortons. I like to get every, Tim Hortons, I get every morning about and get me a chocolate chip muffin. With a large, unsweet tea of six splendors. I got it all planned. So I can't do the natural sugar stuff, so I have to go with the substitute. My body doesn't take it since my surgery. So I have to go with the substitute. But the chocolate chip muffin, that's all working out. That's why there's six splendors and everything. But anyway, so one of our favorite places we like to go. This person was starting this new diet and could not go to a favorite donut shop, so they took a different path every day away from that donut shop. And one day they accidentally drove the little around and they came across a donut shop and they said, you know, it must be God's will that I saw me a donut. Because I've been gone all week. So after the person said, you know, if I can find a spot up front, I know it's God's will for me to get this donut. So after eight trips around the parking lot, the spot was open up front. Took a little while to answer. Kind of look around Jericho, you know. That spot took me to get a donut. Tonight, I'm going to talk about obedience part two. And, I don't know, again, more scriptures say, you know, that's needed for the end of the world. But I am thankful that God, it does work in our lives, and we do have direction that we need to follow and things that we need to follow. Well, a little story I'm going to tell. It's amazing how you remember certain things from when you were a kid. You know, I'll be 54 here in a couple of weeks, and so young. But when I think about the story I'm about to tell you happened like 47 years ago. And the story I remember like it was yesterday. So it wasn't stuck in my head. We were in our first foster home, myself and my three brothers. And we were staying at the foster home, and I remember that night, and like I said, like it was yesterday, we were told no cookies. We were not getting a cookie jar. Well, they left. Well, we're used to cookie jars. They come home, and of course, our kids didn't get in trouble. And we're out in the yard, and he is mad at a hornet. And we got in the cookie jar. He says, you know, run away, because he had a switch with him and everything. And I was the oldest. And he said, you know what, I'm going to talk to He said, you kids get back here right now. Me being the obedient one, went back. I was like, oh, no, I've got a weapon. Because I went back. And I'm telling this for a reason. I'm telling this for a reason. What I did was wrong, because I did something I wasn't supposed to do. So I had to pay a price for that. My punishment was I had got a weapon. I didn't think it was for my brothers to get a weapon. I felt like I took it for them. But it taught me a lesson at that young age. That if we'd be obedient and do the things that we're supposed to do, we were told, we can stay out of trouble. And I've always stayed out of trouble now. Through my life, I was not raised in church. I went to a church. They didn't teach the truth. So I wasn't the choir boy, but I always knew there was always a price when we did something wrong. And I understand that. In the same way, with our walk today with God, when we come to know who the Trinity is, we come to the revelation of who Jesus Christ is, and He is the Son of God, and He is God manifested in the flesh. When we come to that revelation, things change. Our expectations are higher. We're moved to a different level in the system. We're not responsible for what we know. And the decisions that we need to make, and things that we do, and one of the major parts of it is obedience. I mentioned that Sunday, and right in the middle of obedience is the word die. We have to die to ourselves. Right in the middle. So I'm just going to preface a little bit before I get into the word that takes me on tonight again. Sometimes we have to go through things, we do things, and our flesh does not want to be obedient. When we fast, what happens? The flesh turns against you. You can work all day long and not worry about eating. But mention the word fast, and you start starving yourself to death. Because your flesh, God wants to go against what your spirit man wants to do. And when we do fast, we pray with being obedient to what God wants us to do, put ourselves down so He can be lifted up. And my first scripture I want to read is found in Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. So we'll put that on the screen. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, and I can't pronounce some of these words, so forgive me for that, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. Now, he not only didn't want to do what God wanted him to do, he wanted to get out of the presence of God. I never saw that till I was reading this, studying for this. It wasn't just going he was being disobedient to God where God wanted him to go, but he wanted to get away from God's presence. Presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, and so he paid the fare, and therefore went down into it, to go unto them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was like to be broken. But here was a man who was a man of God who God had ordained to do something for him. Wanted him to do something very important. He wanted him to go pass judgment on a city. Because that city was doing wickedness, doing wicked things. In Nineveh. But for whatever reason, Jonah did not want to do that. He did not want to obey the voice of God.
So he decided he's going to go his own thing, go his own way, and get out of the presence of God. We as saints of God, we need to be careful that when we don't get in a situation where we want to do our own thing. Because a lot of times when we want to do our own thing, it's because our flesh doesn't want to do something that might be hard. And we'll try to get out of the presence of God. We'll try to get away from it. But we cannot get away from the presence of God. No matter where you go, you're not going to get away from the presence of God. Just like here, God already knew what was going to happen. So God created this storm, and the storm was for one purpose, was to get Jonah's attention. But Jonah was in the ship, down in the belly of the ship. I don't even know if he was conscious of what was going on, because if you read the rest of the story, or the scripture reading about it, the men on the ship, they were fearful. They wanted to know what happened, what caused all this. And they realized, they went down and ended up waking him up. Say, what, did you bring this on us? And then he admitted who he was. And now they're all scared, because they're worried about the boat being all tore up and all their lives being taken away. When we get out of God's will, we be disobedient, we affect others around us. Things we do have impact on others around us. We may not see it because we're asleep. But every decision we make affects our family around us, our friends around us, our strangers around us. He didn't know these men. They were strangers to him. But it affected them. Their life was in danger because of his disobedience to God. When he realized what he did, he told the men what to do. Throw me overboard. Throw me overboard. Because he realized at that point what he did was he disobeyed God. Jonah realized what he has done wrong. Sometimes I'm slow. It takes me a few hits before I realize how me being disobedient. You know, Pastor, thank you again for the kind words. My wife would tell you, she's a wonderful woman. We're getting ready to celebrate 33 years in marriage. And I love her dearly. But she tells me, I can tell when you're tired. You get cranky. And I need more Jesus when I get tired. I'll admit, I get irritable. I try to get a lot of rest before I come to church. So if I ever came across irritable anybody, I apologize because I was up all night and no sleep all day. So anyway, back to here. He knew what he did was he was the cause of the situation. When we realize, when we come to a point in our walk with God, when we realize we're the cause of things happening around us, it's not what's happening over here. It's not the storm that's causing the problem. It's we caused the storm because we were being disobedient. And that could be a simple thing as, I'm going to say, when we do something, we know that it's not what God wants us to do. That's why I think it's very important. We make big decisions, and I mentioned this last week when I was preaching on this. When we have a big decision in our life, we should not make that big decision until we have talked to our pastor. Because he can look at it from a different point of view where we're looking at it a lot of times in our flesh. And I shared the story how I was offered a job in another state. But before I made it, the man who offered, who talked to me about it, he knew that I prayed. He goes, and I know you're not going to make a decision right now because you are a praying man. I understand that. He goes, but I need to know by Friday. This is all on Monday. And this other state will put me closer to my grandkids. Now, my flesh, let's go. I'm just being honest. Be closer to your flesh. But I knew that wasn't the will of God. Because I didn't feel right about it. But a decision like that is important. So I called my pastor. And we talked about it over the phone. And he gave me his insight. And I said this on that Sunday. As soon as he spoke to me, everything calmed down. The storm calmed. In a sense, the storm calmed down. Because my spirit checked in with his spirit. So I knew what the will of God was. It was not to move to Florida at that time. Okay? I'm just recapping some things I spoke about. We have to be careful. We don't allow our flesh to get in the way like Jonah did. He allowed his flesh to get in the way. And when he did, he got outside of what God's will was. And it almost cost the lives of the men on that ship. And then it cost him 3 days in the belly of a great fish. You ever seen inside of a fish? Have you looked inside of a fish? Kind of fish? Have you ever cut a fish open? That's nasty. That's a catfish. Man, they got all kinds of junk in there. You don't know what you're going to find. I mean, and I tell you what, and it's a natural process. Is whatever goes in, the enzymes in that body starts breaking it down. So I don't think Jonah probably was the best-looking man when he got spit up on the banks, when he got spit back up. But God had a 3-day ticket for him. I think it was 3 days. I might have been 4. I think it was 3. But he had a plan. And where did God take him? He's like, hey, boy, you're not going to go where I told you to go. I want to get you there. But to get there, he had to go through a not suffering. And it's the same way when we become disobedient to what God wants or to what the man of God may tell us that what God has for us in store, we get in trouble because we'll have a lot of pain till we get back to where we need to get to. So when Jonah realized what he needed to do, he went to the city, he preached like he was supposed to, tell them, God's going to destroy you. Everything's going to happen to you. And what happened? The city repented. They repented from the king all the way down. And what did Jonah do? Did he celebrate with them? No. He was upset. He goes, wait a minute. This was supposed to be revival. They were supposed to die. But that just shows you how God can take a situation like that and turn around to good. So that's my first example. As Christians, believers in God, we need to understand that we are in constant battle with our flesh, what our flesh wants to do and what our spirit man wants to do. And whatever, I've heard it 100, if not 1,000 times, whatever we feed, that's what grows up. So if I feed my flesh, that's what's going to be shown. If I feed my spirit, that's what's going to be shown. And we were asked to set goals. If our pastor even asked us to set goals, I already started working on my goals in this November of last year. I started working on my goals for 2018. Because I knew it was probably going to do it. Two, it's how we can measure ourselves when we set our goals. So then when he did ask, and part of that obedience, I wanted to make sure I had everything down. I didn't do a whole lot of personal work goals. As a matter of fact, I think I only did one personal work goal. I think that's on the spiritual side. I want to pray more. I want to fast more. I want to read the Bible more. I do those things, but do I do enough of it? And then but it all culminated to one thing. I want to be able to be a soul winner. So my goal, I set a goal for myself of winning souls this year. So then I took that goal and I broke it down in chunks of what I'm going to do. So in the first quarter, I'm going to do this. I'm going to spend more time praying, more time listening and feeling out. And Pastor gave us a great word in our mentoring session before we had when we come out here. I think it was it Sunday or last week, Pastor, when you asked us to pray, Lord, bring someone in front of us. A hungry soul in front of me. Now I added to the end of that, and make me aware that they're hungry. Because God can bring the hungry people to us, but if I'm not aware of it, again, that's part of our obedience. Are we dying to ourselves what we want to help others? So my goal is to win souls. So I started praying. So I have it on my phone every morning at 4 a.m. It goes off because I'm up at 4 a.m. It goes off, so I'll take a few minutes and I'll pray, God, bring that 100 soul in front of me today. I'm going to keep praying it and continue to pray it because my goal is to win souls. Because the next step is build a relationship with somebody. Build that relationship. Then do a Bible study. I mean, I set specific goals, specific timeline when I want to do these things. So, and first quarter is almost over. The second quarter is dealing with building those friendships and working towards that Bible study. So I can get on the ball. Because I got a couple more weeks here in the first quarter. So I've done most of the first quarter things I had planned. So those are things we got to set those goals. But again, that's being obedient, not only to what God wants us to do, being fishers of men and reaching out to us, but being obedient to my pastor who asked the leadership and the staff
ministers and their wives to set our goals for the year. And memorizing scriptures. I'm fortunate I have a wonderful wife who was a quizzer. She helps me, and she stops me right when I get it wrong. And you know what? It's irritating. But she says, if you're going to do it, you got to do it right.
That's right. That's right.
So thank you, honey.
Yes.
So there was Jonah. And then the another example I want to talk about. We always seem like we have all this craziness going on around us. We have all kinds of excuses why we can't do something. You know, it could be your family's pulling on you. It could be your job's pulling on you. It could be a number of different things happening around you. And it just pulls, and you feel like you're just in the middle of a storm. And you feel like you're all alone. That you're just out there by yourself. And no one's around you. And you're just like in a storm. You feel like the world's just caving down on you. I want to read Matthew chapter 14. 25 through 30, and most of you probably know the story. It says, in the fourth watch in the night, Jesus went unto them. Remember, Jesus was up there. They were preaching, and he told the disciples to go on, and he stayed back. And then when they're out on the boat, a big storm broke out and Jesus started walking on the water, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Now here's men that were with him all the time. And when they seen him walking, they were troubled because they didn't know what it was, if it was a spirit or what. Because they even said, is it a spirit? And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And then the bold one, Peter, we got to love Peter. We all have a little bit of Peter in us. We don't like to admit it sometimes, but we all do. We'll say things that we probably shouldn't say at first. And then we realize we said it, and then we got to retract. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I'm going to stop right there for a minute. He obeyed the word of God. Jesus told him, step out. Me, they say, I'm going to pretend like this is the water, this is the boat. I probably wouldn't ask the question in the first place. But I would have been like, do I want to do this? But no, Peter, what did he do? He just walked out, started walking on the water. It wasn't till he got out there, then he allowed things around him to affect his relationship that he was having with God at that time. He allowed the storm to rise up. When he saw the waves, he immediately started sinking, and he said, and he shouted out to God to save him. And Jesus reached down and grabbed him. We do the same thing at times. We say, God, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. And Jesus tells us to do something. You're like, yes, I'll do that first thing tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning comes. You wake up and you go, okay, I'm going to pray for 3 hours. You get down and you start praying. And then all of a sudden your mind starts wandering. What time is this? I need coffee. Did I brush my teeth yet? Everything around you starts, and it takes you away what you said you were going to do. That's all part of that discipline that we need to get a hold of to understand what we need to do and how we need to do it. I want, for me personally, I want this year to be totally different than the year it was last year, the year before that. Totally different. We are closer to the coming of God now than we were 33 years ago when I met my wife and married her. We got married quick because I thought Jesus was coming. Can I be honest? A week before our wedding, we went to a conference at the Brother Newstrand's church out in Newark on the ashes of the red heifer. Brother Hurd taught, Richard Hurd taught a lesson on that. I was so scared, I didn't think I was going to make it to my wedding. But we need to have that same desire, that same unction now, even more, because you look around us. And again, confession time. All these kids going out of school today, protesting because of different things. It doesn't matter where you stand on the gun laws and those type of things, but I'm thinking to myself, what an act of disobedience, because they're supposed to be there learning, but then I find out the teachers are encouraging them to do it. And I'm thinking our society has gone the wrong way. We're not teaching, you bring up God in church, in school, and you're an outcast. But bring up something on the other side, and it's okay. That's why I believe we're living in the last days. I don't know how long we have here. I don't know, but I know it's closer now than it was 33 years ago when I first got into church. It's a lot closer. And we need to be ready. So that's my goal for this year, is be a different person, be closer to God, to be more obedient to what he wants and understand what he wants. Because here was Peter. He was doing everything he thought was right. You know, he was taking a challenge. He was stepping out. He could have walked on the water all day long if he wanted to. But he allowed the storm around him to distract him, and then he had to shout out. And we do the same thing. We start saying, we're going to walk for Jesus. We're going to do this. We're going to make it all day long. Nothing's going to bother me wherever I'm at work, school, home, whatever. And then a storm happens. You get a phone call. Something breaks. Your car gets a flat tire. You know, all this stuff happens. And I'm not saying that. I have a carrier at work. He has more flat tires than anybody I know. It's amazing. He'll deliver around. He'll call me, Steve, I got a flat tire. What about your spare? I don't have a spare. Okay, why you get flat tires every other day? Why don't you have a spare? Then I got to go and pick him up, drive him around on his route, and do all this stuff. So I told him, we had another carrier. It was just the same way. I said, I'm changing your name. You're now so-and-so junior because you have just as many flat tires as them. But I just don't, I mean, so we allow things, but we allow these storms to affect how we do things. And I tell you, sometimes it can be trying to work with these carriers because they want you to do everything for them, but they don't want really do anything for you. And a lot of times we get that same way. We want God to do everything for us, but are we willing to do things for him? Another example I want to give is, you know, if you read Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis 1, 1 through 2, you want to go ahead and put that up there? I'm going to read that here. I was going to try to quote it because it's one of my memory verses, but I don't want to mess it up. Because then I'll have Rhonda, nope, you didn't say that right. Verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Very first two verses of the Bible. And what happened? What was voided and incomplete was just darkness all around, just a blob. God spoke to it, and it became what we know today. Nature obeys God. God tells nature what to do, and nature does it. And we should be no different. God places people in front of us. God places leadership in front of us to help us, to help direct us. Because I truly believe that. And I mentioned it before, I'm not called to be a pastor. I'm not called to be an evangelist. I feel my calling is to be a help to the ministry. That's what I feel my call is. And so when you realize and you understand what that is, it's easy to do things. It's when you try to step out and do something that maybe you're not, you think this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm not allowed to do it there, or I'm just throwing that out as in the air here. Our job can be the same way at times. We feel everyone who has a job in here, you guys are all exceptional workers, right? Exceeds every evaluation, right? How do you react if you don't get that exceeds? Oh, quiet, okay. Yeah. I can't sing or I would. Here. But we have expectations of where we think we are. And if we don't hit, if we don't think others think we're there, we get disappointed. And I think at times, and I'm sharing this for a reason, because at times we think we're a little bit higher than what we are, and sometimes God has to tell us, hey, whoa, slow down. You know, I love you. You're my kid. But, you know, you still got to work on a couple things. You need to improve in this area. And one of those areas, in my opinion, is we don't do a good job is when we communicate. Sometimes, because, again, the church I grew up in, every Sunday I went to confession. I had told some person that I knew what I did for the week, which I always thought was weird. Now, I didn't tell him everything I did because it wasn't his. He had no reason to know. I guess I was being disobedient back then. But God has parameters for us that he wants us to walk in and live in. And he tells us, and he wants to see what we're going to do to improve. And I think it's important that we understand when we have this things we have to do and decisions we need to make, we need to make that decision based upon what God wants us to do. And getting godly advice from others is the most important thing. And mainly from your pastor who's over you. Because I could talk to my family all day long about going to Florida, and they're all for it. Call my daughter and ask her. But that doesn't mean it's God's will. And I don't want to, I told Rhonda, I don't want to be outside of God's will. Because when you get outside of God's will, I feel like you allow more things to come at you and can hurt you or hurt someone around you. You know, it's not about me. It's about everyone around me. It has effect on that. The third example I want to use here is, I think, probably one of the greatest men in the Bible besides the Lord Jesus, and that's Paul. And I say that because of what he went through. You read his story, no one's been beaten as many times as he was beaten, been shipwrecked as many times as he was, stoned, beaten, all these things. But yet he gave God glory for everything. Everything. But his first thing, you know, he was, and we're going to read Acts 9, 3 through 6. At this time, he's still called Saul. He felt like he was doing God's will, going around persecuting the Jews, or those who believed in Jesus Christ is who he was persecuting. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? I'm going to stop right there for a minute. Here was a man of God who was doing everything he thought that was right, because that's what he was taught. And he felt that these believers in Jesus Christ were wrong. They were going against what the Jews knew. But it was all in line with what the Jews knew. They just didn't want to accept it at that time. And he came to a point where Jesus met him face to face. And he asked, Who art thou? You do not hear him question God back when he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. He doesn't say, Are you sure? He accepted who he was. He understood the voice of God. He understood it. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. If you read the rest of the chapter, it talks about these men that were with him, they saw the light. They just didn't know. They couldn't hear the voices. They could not hear the conversation between Jesus and Paul now. But they saw it. But when the light vanished, Paul had to be led by his hands to the city because he was now blinded. because he had an encounter with God and he realized what he was doing. He didn't question. You never heard him question it. Was that really Jesus who talked to me? Was that what I've been doing wrong? He did exactly what God told him to do. He obeyed and went into the city. And for 3 days, he's in the city. And God gives a man a vision and told him to go find Paul. He told him where he's going to find him. Go to him. And when he did, they prayed for it, and his scales fell off his eyes. And Paul, the revelation of how he became what he became from that point on. It was an encounter with God that changed his whole life. We all have a point in our time when we come with God, we get an encounter with him. Mine happened to be in a living room one day during a home Bible study when the revelation of who Jesus Christ was came to me. From that point on, no one could tell me anything about the Trinity. Though I spent my childhood through my up to my 19th, or actually I was about 20 then, 20 years old, what I believed in. It's when God tells you, you see it. But he tells a hungry heart. Paul, though he was doing all the things he was doing, he had a hunger to do the right things for God. And God recognized that, and God saw something in him that he could use. God sees something in every one of you here that he wants to use you. It doesn't matter how young or how old you are, God has you here for a purpose. In this place, you're here in this place for a reason. There is a work that needs to be done. Paul never questioned it. Paul did the things that God wanted him to do, no matter what the persecution that came upon him was. He had the Jews chasing him now. He had the saints not believing him when he first came into them because they were scared of him. Their image of him was he was one persecuting and killing us. Paul was at the stoning of Stephen. So they all knew who he was. So now, is it a trick? Is he trying to get in as a trick to capture us all? But no, when he got that revelation who Jesus Christ was, or is, I should say, who Jesus Christ is, his life changed. God has something for every one of us. We just need to be obedient to what he says. Where I said before, we have to die to ourselves and allow him to rise up. When we do that, his hand protection will be on us. Though Paul went through all the things that he went through, the shipwrecks, the beating, God's hand was on him. God led him where he needed to go. He preached in front of many high, important dignitaries and things, but that's what God wanted him to do. He wrote majority of the Bible, of the New Testament, was written by him. The letters to the churches. He had people that saw him as a mentor, Timothy. He ministered to Timothy in letters. He spent a lot of his ministry in prison, writing to the churches. Think about that. His messages were him writing things down and sending them off, and people getting up and reading it. But he did it for a reason. He knew who God was. He knew who Jesus was, and he wasn't going back to what he used to do. He allowed his flesh to die to the will of God. And when we do that, things around us don't seem so important. And I think I told this at the prayer meeting. I told Pastor this too. I was always on the go at work, and I felt like, I don't know if I shared, did I share this Sunday too? I was always on the go at work when there was issues right in the middle of fixing those issues, getting right there, taking care of it. And I think a lot of the things that I was going through, lack of sleep, a lot of things, you know, there's times pastor would tell me, Steve, you just don't look good. And he wasn't talking about my facial appearance. I know that's a problem, but what I'm saying, is I looked sick. You know, I looked at because I was allowing things around me to affect me. Okay, I was allowing situations around me. I was trying to fix everything, get everything right so it can go, so we can have a good day and hit our numbers and everything will be good. Everybody will be happy, but it wasn't happening. And I was getting calls when I had a day off. I'd get a call at 3 o'clock in the morning. Hey, Steve, so and so is not showing up. Steve would jump out of bed, drive across town. I live in Groveport, drive across to the west side here, and deliver a route. All the time. I think I went 8-9 weeks without a day off. God had a plan. He got me sick. He got me that flu bug that I wasn't allowed to be around people on. He got me sick where I had to stay home. They couldn't call me because I wasn't allowed to go anywhere. I had to stay home and rest. For 3 days, I missed work. And during that time, I realized I had the wrong priorities. The place is still delivering newspapers. I didn't have to take a phone call because they knew they weren't going to call me. I couldn't do anything. So I took that sickness that God, and I feel like God did that to stop, so slow me down. I mentioned in prayer that psalm we sang about, still in his hand. Not like I never left his hand. When I use that word still, I'm talking about I was still. I didn't move. And when I did that, he was able to help me. He was able to work on me, on what I needed fixed. So when I went back to work, I told my manager, I said, I'm taking my days off. Unless there's something crazy goes on, I'm going to take my day off. He goes, nope, we want you to, Steve, do that. First weekend off, 2 o'clock in the morning, I got a phone call. I did not answer it. I figured if it's important, they'll leave me a message. I let it ring, let it go to voicemail, no voicemail. Went back to sleep. Perfect day. Not perfect, but I mean, I didn't get up. Next night, 3 o'clock in the morning, my phone rang. Did not answer it. Did not answer it. Let it go to no voicemail. Fine, we're good. Now, the following weekend was a different story, but they had issues. But anyway, what I'm saying is I allow myself to step back and reevaluate everything. And since then, I feel so much better. The best thing that I tell people, the best thing that happened to me was getting sick. We take times when we get sick as maybe a punishment or something I did or something like that. But me, I took it as a God telling me, slow down. I've been trying to get your attention. And you weren't listening. So I'm going to give you this influenza type A. And my doctor says, you need to stay away from society. Okay. But I tell you, I feel better. Because it gave me a time to think back and look at things. And which I do appreciate. That God, we have things happen sometimes, is for our protection. It's for our protection, because if I probably would have gone too much further, who knows what would happen to me? Who knows what could have happened? I mean, I don't know. But I'm thankful for what God does for us, because his hand is on us. We may not always see it like we want to see it, but his hand is on us. And we need to be obedient to that when he tells us something. We need to follow through. And especially when, like now, this, I really feel this year is different for us as a church. Because, you know, we're doing these renovations. We're doing all these things. And I don't feel that we're doing it for us. I feel that we're doing for others that God wants to bring in, and we're prepping it now for that. We all have a ministry. We all have a part in that, no matter how young or how old you are, no matter what you think you're capable or incapable. Here's the thing. We're all capable. We're all capable. God gave every one of us the Holy Ghost, not just to sit down, but to use it. No matter if we're an introvert or an extrovert. It depends. I feel like I'm an extrovert. I can go talk to anybody. But then there are times I feel like I'm an introvert because I don't go talk to everybody. I'm confusing sometimes. And it's confusing to myself. But God has us all, called us all for a purpose. We're here not just to enjoy the presence of God, which is a wonderful thing. We have wonderful, wonderful services. We have some great, great worship. The Holy Ghost moves in a mighty way. But he has us here for a purpose. And I believe we're in the last days. Look around us and everything that's going on. You know, I was on Facebook and looking at Facebook and everything that's going on there. You know, you get this side of the story, you get that side of the story and all this stuff, you know. And I don't want to get political or anything, so I'm not going to. But if you read your Facebook post, you got different people posting different things. You know, some of the stuff irritates me to the point where I don't like to read Facebook that much. I actually don't, because it becomes irritating. I pretty much go on, click on my daughter or my son-in-law's post so I can see pictures of my grandbabies. That's pretty much what I do with Facebook. And to get there, you got to see all this other stuff that's going on. It just drives me nuts. But anyway, that's a different story, different lesson. So I'm going to wrap up here. So I don't know if we want Thad's coming or what. I'll turn it over to the pastor in a minute. I want to be an encouragement today from this standpoint. Understand that obedience isn't a bad thing. Matter of fact, it's a good thing. Because obedience keeps us in check. It keeps us where we need to be. Just like if when your kids were little, you didn't let them play in the streets. You didn't let them go out on Route 40 or 70. You didn't let them go on Route 70, run up and down on Route 70. Because they would risk getting hit and get hurt. If your kids did something wrong, what do we do? What, Jessica? No, I heard the first word. I like that. Spanked them. I think it's still okay to spank. It's in the Word of God. But I'm just saying, if they were disobedient, we took corrective action to get them back to be obedient. And God does the same thing to us. We're no different. When we become disobedient to him, he'll put correction action on us. And sometimes that hurts worse than if we just obeyed in the first place. And so with that, when I'm close, I'm just letting you know, God wants us. He has a work for every one of us. He has a purpose. Maybe you feel like you're just kind of here, but you're not. God has you here for a reason, every one of you. You have a ministry. It could be like mine, the ministry of helps, just to help out. Or Tim's, the ministry of works. Tim does an awesome job. Brother Nevin and his craftsmanship. I couldn't do those things. I used to sell that stuff, but I couldn't do it. You know, I was like, I just sell it. They don't need anybody. Just like when I was a manager at Nationwide, I could not program a program. But I managed a group of programming people. Because they weren't looking for a programming manager. They were looking for a people manager. We all have unique talents that God wants to use. So we need to get to the point in our relationship with Him where we're willing to be still, listen to what He wants us to do. Because His voice will come to us, either to us directly or from our pastor. God will tell our pastor. God will. You don't think God doesn't talk to him? Sometimes when we're talking, I get worried. Because if God tells us something and he tells me, it's like how close it can hit to what I'm going through. But my flesh wants to say, all's good. I feel great. Don't we do that? How you feeling today? Oh, I'm wonderful. Just got done throwing up. I'm sorry. Let me clarify. Up chucking. But again, I was trying to make this a fun lesson tonight. But also, you know, with a point, you know, I can't stress it enough when we do things, we need to understand the consequences of our decisions. Just like Jonah, he made a decision that went against what God wanted him to do. And it almost cost people's lives. Any major decisions we have in our lives, we need to pray about it and talk to our pastor about it. Or our pastor's wife. You know, that's why God placed them here. I don't know exactly where it's found in the scripture. The former Bible quizzes probably can tell me. But I believe it was Paul that talked about obey them that have rule over you. My walking Bible. But it's in the Word of God. And we need to respect that and understand that. If we can dim the lights, I'm going to turn this back over to our pastor. But I just want to thank you for the time tonight. And I just love God and what He does. Even when I make, there it is, Hebrews 13:17. Gwen's all on top of it. I want to read that. Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves. Sometimes submit's hard for us. Because you know what that tells me? I got to let my feelings go. When I submit, I got to get what I want out of the way. For they watch for your souls as they must give account. Wow. Think of that responsibility our pastor has. That they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. That's powerful. So with that, if we could just stand for a few minutes here. And I'm going to turn it over to our pastor, but also want to give you an opportunity if you want to come up and pray. We open up this altar and just to celebrate God and what He wants to do. If you want a closer walk, if you want to be closer to the Lord, I open this altar up for you just to ask for that. That God just opens up opportunities and help us to submit ourselves to our leadership, submit ourselves to what God wants so we can be out of the way.
Lift your hands, would you, to the Lord. I give myself away.